who's got the controls back there, but I'm going to get loud probably. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Because I'm already echoing to myself. Thank you. That's good. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is a privilege to be with you tonight and to try to preach the gospel. I pray that I will be an encouragement to you. Thank you, ladies. That was a very... Where did they all go? Oh, okay. Sorry, they were situated one way and now they're different. And I was, for our good and for His glory, I think that'll go right along with the message tonight, I believe. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. And the Bible says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." I'm going to try to preach a message tonight entitled, "What Kind of a Warrior Are You?" What kind of a warrior are you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, I need your help tonight. Lord, we've heard some great singing, some great testimony. Lord, I thank you that we even got to share some of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us and some prayer requests and things that you're doing and the work that you've given us to do. But Lord, it's preaching time. I pray that you would help me as I try to share these thoughts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What kind of a warrior are you? Have you even considered what kind of a warrior? You say, "Well, Brother Davis, I'm not in the military." No. Wait a minute. You go to Ephesians chapter 6. I think that you are in the military. Only you're in God's army. You're not in Uncle Sam's army. So what kind of a warrior are you? First thing he talks about here in this verse is, "But watch thou in all things." Watching is something that's very, very related to the military and to the operations and things that we do. I mean, you stand watch. You stand as a sentry. I mean, the general orders of a sentry that we all had to learn in boot camp, those of you that were in the military, you remember. You go back maybe a few days, maybe a few years, and you remember that you had to learn the general orders of a sentry. In the Navy, there was 11. The other services, there's the same 11 things, but some of them break them up a little bit different these days. But you learn all, it's all the same thing. You have a responsibility, those general orders, and watchfulness and awareness, alertness of what's going on around you is like at the core of everything you're doing as a sentry. Well, that relates right over to us as a Christian, being aware, being alert, being involved to what's going on. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We will be moving around just a little bit, so I hope your fingers are limber. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Says, "Therefore," well, he's talking in the first, "but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you," beginning in verse 1. I mean, your pastor alluded to what would seem to be an action by one that I know on my part it's unconscionable. I get frustrated when I go to church and somebody starts playing the national anthem and people are just kind of like, "What are you supposed to do?" What do you mean, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be getting up on your feet. I mean, it doesn't matter where it's played. Yes, I know we're in church, but it's not during the preaching. So you should be standing up. You should be. People gave their lives. I don't know how many of you know the story of when Francis Scott Key wrote the poem that was turned into a song later. But there were people. There were many people in that fort that was being bombed that night that gave their lives to ensure that that flag, or one very similar to it, that it stayed raised above all that was going on. They gave their lives. You need to stand. "But of the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write in." All you got to do is look in the newspaper. All you got to do is listen to the television, to the news report. There's For you for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall so cometh as a thief in the night. Who would have thought that we'd have got to this situation? Who would have thought 240 years ago that we'd be here today? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You just watch what's going on. Everybody's talking about peace. They don't know nothing about peace. And those that are talking peace, you know that they're not really talking peace. They're just trying to get you delayed or distracted so they can get some systems in place. They want to take this book. This is what they're after. Because this is where truth is. And they're after the book. Oh, they're going to go about it in a sneaky and a roundabout way. But of the times and seasons, you have no need that I write in these. But only if you're alert and awake and paying attention to what's going on. But ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Our job is to be involved. Our job is to stay awake and to be alert. How do you do that? Well, when you're standing your post, when you're walking, you don't do it by sitting down and kicking back. I guarantee you that you will not be very, you might be wide awake, but if you go sit down on your post. Now, I must admit, I have fallen asleep standing up. As a matter of fact, when I was teaching, I almost fell asleep a couple of times. And my wife, she cracks up every time she thinks about it. But you know what? When you're standing up and you're moving around, it's a lot more difficult for you to fall asleep. So if we, as Christian soldiers, are up and about and involved in the work of watching and being sober. Let me see, how can we be? Thursday night, got some activity going on where you can, on purpose, go out and be involved. I put Tuesday night and Thursday night, and those are, my wife knows, we know when we set schedules. I'm busy. I have a plan. Last night, I left at, 5:45, 5:30, something like that. I didn't get home till after 9 o'clock. Folks, when you're going out, people can't, when you're working, you're going to have to be involved. You're going to have to make some sacrifice, and it's going to take some sacrifice on the part of us as Christians to make it work. And there's one of the candidates that is, their motto is Make America Great Again. And the political, you know where America's going to be great again? When God's people get involved, when God's people admit their sin and get up and get involved and go out there and try to make a difference in the lives of other people. It's not going to be when we change at the ballot box. I mean, there may be some temporary changes in one direction or another, but if we want to see America great again, it's going to have to make God great again. We have taken the Word of God and pushed it down to the side. We pushed everything else is more important than the Word of God. That's what he's talking about here. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. And everybody alludes to this. Here's scripture, 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Everybody says, look out, the Lord's coming. What should that mean to us? I put that in my video. The urgency of the hour. People are dying. Those two young men, 20 years old. One young man went home on the weekend, went home on Friday. He'd had some kind of a cough or something. He went to the I guess he got home and his mom said, you really need to go have somebody look at that. And he went to the emergency room and 10 hours later he was dead. Now, that same dorm, I've been in the gazebo out there talking to young people and trying to talk to them about the urgency of the hour. And I said, you know, right over there in that dorm there was a young man. And he went home one weekend. Be particularly like on a Saturday night. You know, this young man, he didn't come back. He was dead. They buried him. Same age as you. Boy, it gets real quiet. It gets real quiet. Many of us in here have been blessed with years. But are we attached to the urgency of the hour? Are we aware that we are one heartbeat away? Are we? The times demand sober living, being aware. 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at verse 8. 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Folks, it's only a matter of time. You read in the news, you hear the different folks talking about those that are paying with their life over in other parts of the world. Folks, it's only a matter of time that if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come, that same type of thing is going to be happening here. If we don't wake up, get back to the book, get back to the fundamentals. You mentioned football season's on us. What is going to be one of the predominant things that the football coaches are going to talk to their players about? Back to the basics. Back to the basics. The fundamentals of blocking and tackling. Back to the basics. The fundamentals of Christian living. Live right. Have a proper prayer life. Have a time of devotion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. Hey, you got some gospel tracts? You got gospel tracts? You got ones that aren't beat up? Or you just have garbage in your pocket or laying in the dashboard of your car or in the cup holder that it ended up getting stuck down there and your coffee spilled on it? Now, if somebody gives you a piece of garbage like that, are you going to look at it? Probably not. So why do you think that somebody's going to look at a gospel tract that talks about salvation, that shows somebody the way to heaven, and you're going to give them that and say, hey, you want to go to heaven? I mean, it's just the greatest thing. Yeah, but you're using it to wipe your hands on and, you know, as a coffee, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Coaster. Using it as a coaster. It doesn't really mean that much to you because you... It means something. What do you do with your Bible? Does it hold a place of reverence? Or is it the one that ends up on the bottom of the stack and everything gets piled on top of it? You say, well, your Bible's looking pretty rough. Yeah, it is. I wore it out, wearing it out. I said, I got to get this in a cover. I got another one on the way. I've heard some preachers say that people come for an interview and they bring their Bible. You can tell a lot about a person if you look at their Bible. Is it used or does it look like it's in pristine condition? And I'm not talking about preachers that they have a preaching Bible, that one that they can actually read and will stay together. I'm talking about your everyday Bible. Does it look like you use it? You spend some time in it? Folks, there is an adversary. That's why we're supposed to be on watch. That's why you have the general orders of sentry, because you need to pay attention, because there's an adversary. There's somebody that's out to get us, but there's somebody here that's going to tell us about all his wiles. And he says, endure afflictions. Turn to 1 Peter. You should be right. You're probably right near the 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. The young ladies were singing the song about all things for our good and his glory. When the things that God allows to come into your life, or maybe the things that God puts in your life, God put them there because he wants you to minister to somebody else. Somebody you're going to cross paths with. Or he wants you to be a testimony to somebody. He wants somebody to see you, how you live out your Christian faith as you go through that difficult time. Brother, I'm not sure what the whole story about what's going on, but maybe somebody's watching you. and how you're going through this difficult time. And there may be some other folks that you get to talk to. All for our good and His glory. Remember, we talk about Romans 8:29. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." But we forget verse 29. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." The whole idea is God's trying to work a work in your life to make you like His Son. That's what He's trying to do. And along the way, you're going to make a difference in somebody else's life. You're going to minister to somebody, but God's trying to work in your life. But you got to pay attention. You got to stay awake. You got to stay in the book. You got to teach your children to be in the book. You say, "Well, Brother Davis, I made some mistakes too." But we can't fix those things. But we can go forward. And if you have, we can make a difference today and tomorrow. We can't do anything about yesterday. You and I have to commit to going forward, to trying to make a difference in the days ahead. You say, "Brother Davis, it's going to be difficult." What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18? He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, if we're connected with the one that has all the power, then what's the problem? The problem is that we're not ready to get plugged into the power. Because getting plugged into the power means it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me. But the Lord Jesus Christ had already cost Him. He already paid. He gave with His life. He talks right here in verse 23, he talks about the suffering and the reviling and... Folks, I don't know the whole story, but that lady over in Kentucky, she said, "I'm taking a stand." And they bashed her across the entire nation, probably across the world. And the part that I know about what's going on, she was standing on the book. She said, "I'm going to stand. You do what you have to do. But I'm not going to." What kind of a testimony will you have when you get called on the carpet? Because it's going to happen. If you're going to stand for God, you will get called on the carpet. You will get called up. You can just count on it. It's going to happen. Are you prepared? Are you planning for that? How do you do that? You got to get God's word in your heart. You got to be studying. You got to be prepared. Just like a soldier has to prepare themselves, that's why they have training. You got to prepare. You're going to suffer trouble. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Guess if I get in the right reference here, it'll work better. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We need to be a partaker. We need to be involved. It's gonna take us getting out of our comfort zone and getting attached to some of these. You need to work with your pastor. But you need to be involved in making a difference in some of these things. That's what the deal is. The pulpit, from what I know about your pastor, he preaches for straight. And he's trying to get you involved and together as a team. But you know where the real change is going to happen? The real change is going to happen when we decide to get involved in having a prayer life. It's great that we come to church. It's great that we read our Bible. But are we interceding? Are we reaching out to the one that can make the difference? What did he say in John chapter 4 and verse 35? He says, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest." What did he say in Matthew chapter 9? He says, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest." They will send for laborers. That's us. You say, "Well, Brother Davis, I feel like I'm just overworked and I just don't know what I can do." You can pray. You can pray. You can pray. Or can you? Is your heart right? Are you in a position where you can pray? Do the work of the evangelist to preach the word. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, it's great that you have all these folks that you support. And we're very grateful that we've been privileged to be one of them. But what did he say in Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1, but verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. What's the next word? It says both. So that means that you have, I don't know, 30, 40 people over there, 30, 40 different missionaries or organization, whatever that you support. But the both means that while we are there, you are here being a witness. It's not just putting your money in. And I'm excited that you got a Faith Promise Mission Conference coming up here in just a couple of months. My wife and I give to Faith Promise. I support missions in my church. I give every month. I believe God can. And I'm telling you that God is. And by the way, just a little side note here. I challenge you. I hadn't thought about this. But I was in a missions conference a couple of years ago, and I'd been giving the Faith Promise Missions for many years. But I heard the speaker, and he stood up and he challenged everybody to get a book. I'll just use this song book. He said, get a book. And he says, you start giving to God, and you watch what God does, and you write it down. How God meets your need. How God does things that you don't now have to spend money on. One thing that came to my mind not long after that had happened, or right before that had happened, my wife and I needed eye doctor appointments. And through different things, my vision coverage from my insurance had lapsed. And I just knew that the doctor's appointment was going to cost $100+ for each of us. And I walked up to the window and I checked this in, and I was like, you know, I know it's going to cost. Just let me know what it's going to cost and we'll take care of it. And the lady says, okay. And a few minutes later, the lady comes back to me and says, Mr. Davis, did you know that under your medical insurance, you actually have every other year you get an eye exam that's covered? And I was like, really? Hooray! You just tell me that God's not on the throne. I had no idea that God was there. What can God do? God can do whatever he wants to do. What does he want you to do? He wants you to be a faithful and be obedient in giving and doing and being involved in the lives of other people and the ministry of the gospel of Christ, of reaching others. He's all about others. He's all about others. That's our ministry: compassionate, active, military, outreach. It's going. It's reaching. It's not waiting for people to come to us. Hey, you can't just wait for people to come here. First Baptist Church of Easton, y'all got a great church. You got a nice building. Facilities are nice. AC's wonderful. Or when the heater will work when it gets cold. But it's not about waiting here for them to come here. It's about you meeting here and going there, wherever there is, and telling them about Jesus Christ, about the gospel, about the good news of salvation. Sometimes the sentries, they make up patrols and they have to go out. And they get involved and they're seeking, trying to find out where folks, we're surrounded. You don't have to wonder where the enemy is. You go out those doors. Matter of fact, Satan, if he had his way, he's probably in here trying to stir up something in here. What kind of a warrior are you? Make full proof of thy ministry. Look over at Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20 and 24. Apostle Paul is speaking to the elders from Ephesus. He's talking about all the different things that he's done. He gets down to verse 24 and he says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." We have been given a ministry. We have been given opportunity to share the gospel with those around us. The Apostle Paul said, "Neither count I my life dear unto me." See, Brother Davis, that's a pretty strong statement. I'm just reading what the book says. He said, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself." What are you willing to sacrifice that others can know about the good news of salvation? Maybe it's a dollar. Maybe it's some time. Maybe it's a talent that you have. I don't know. That's not for me to judge or decide. That's between you and God. But Paul said he didn't even count his life. What are you? What are you holding on to? What's keeping you from being involved? What's keeping you from being the kind of soldier that God wants you to be? The warrior. What is a warrior? A warrior is one that is involved, is going forward. There are many people that, and that's I believe that's why I titled that kind of a warrior, not just a soldier, not just being a good soldier, because we have folks that are in the military that they're not worth a plug nickel. But they're in. But then you got some that are, they're warriors. They're involved. What kind of a warrior are you? Here's a question for you. Does it matter if you're a good warrior? I would submit to you that it does. It does matter. You matter. The warrior life that you live matters. Why? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Why does it matter? First, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You have a responsibility to train others. Brother, I'm thankful for you teaching the young ladies and young men to sing and to be involved in ministry, and others maybe that are involved. You got to train. You got to mentor. You got to encourage. That's why it matters. And when you're not a good warrior, let's just put it that way. When you're not a good warrior, it matters. It detracts from the ministry that God intends for you to have. What are you talking about? Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. "None of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself." You matter. You're having an influence on people. Whether you know it or not, you are influencing people. Even down to, "Hey, young man, you in a red shirt, you're influencing people." You say, "Oh, yeah, you are. Because I bet you there's some littler munchkins in this church. And they're looking up to you." So don't think just because you're not the age of your mom and dad that you're not influencing. You too. Don't be looking at me like that. You're influencing people too. Older and younger. Hey, you back there in the blue shirt. Yeah, you're influencing people. You're causing adults to move in certain directions or not, as the case may be. So don't just think that it's old people like me and those that maybe got a few more years than me. You're making a difference. You're influencing people. How are you teaching? How are you causing them to think and act? Verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness, a good soldier, Jesus Christ. When you're a good soldier and you put up with difficulties and trials and challenges and different things that go on in your life, and you just go right on, you stay faithful. What kind of an encouragement is that to others? When you go through and you're faithful to God, ma'am, I was so encouraged. You seem to have, it was like you were really having some difficulty in walking, and time has really given you a challenge. And yet, I saw you sit to the piano. Oh, to hear the piano go. And hear those fingers move. And to know that to make the fingers, that means the mind's got to go. Go right with it and lead and guide and direct the hands. You're making a difference. Going on through. Things are difficult. Some of you others may have some challenges. I have no idea what they are. But are you honoring God? Are you going forward? It's about making a difference. A warrior's going to have to endure some difficult times. There's some training. There's some tough times that have to happen, that will happen. They don't have to happen, but they will happen. So what are you going to do when they happen? You're going to sit down and say, well, I'm just going to, everybody hates me, nobody loves me, think I'll go eat worms. That's what some people do. I'm just, oh, well, oh, poor pitiful me. Shut up. Get up. Let's go on. One day, what the song I read is going to be worth it all. What we sing tonight, I'm satisfied with. Hey, there's a mansion. Jesus said, I'm the way. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm coming again. Are you getting a mansion built? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is. It talks about, for the foundation can no man lay than that that is laid. What kind of foundation are you building on? You got gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble? We're all building something. What are you building? You're right there in 2 Timothy. You're going to finish up in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Apostle Paul's coming to the end of his life. Or he knows his life is coming to an end. And he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Kept the faith. I'm going to get to verse 8 in just a minute. Can you say that? Most of us cannot say verse 6. The time of my departure is at hand, because we don't know when we're leaving from this life to the next. But can you say, I have fought a good fight? I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. As you evaluate your life, don't look at me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to look over to make sure I get the right one. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So when you decide that you're going to measure your life against mine or your life against somebody else in the church, the Bible says you're not wise. I mean, just flat out tells you, you're not wise. You should be measuring your life against what God has told you to do in the Word of God, and then you should do it. And if you do that, then when you get to the end of your life, you can say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Then, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You do all that, you'll have a crown. And the only reason we got that crown was just to lay it at his feet. Because the only thing that's going to be in heaven caused by man are the scars in the hands and feet and the side of the Lord Jesus. Other than that, there can't be nothing else there. Because it's all wicked, it's all sinful. But we can lay some things up ahead. if we'll fight a good fight, we'll stay in there and keep the faith. Do what God told us to do. You evaluate yourself against the Word of God. Don't look at me. Don't look at him. Because he ain't the one to evaluate you either. He's just a preacher. He's the pastor. He's supposed to be an encourager, looking out for your soul. Folks, you're the one that's going to have to give an answer for your life. What kind of an answer are you going to give?